still need to move a little bit to continue to. So we should go through the countries instead of all my editorial comments. So, but that's how we have to learn something. But I make nevertheless, it's important to cover ground because I really do want to finish the countries. I think it's so important, and he makes very important points. Since the tzaddik who taught this was saying it in front of an olam, was speaking to people, and as you can see, the ikka here are in yoni chizik. So sometimes he will repeat for the purpose of making the point, as when a person speaks to an olam, as opposed to when you're writing something for the sake of writing, being repetitious is often can be very frustrating. But when speaking to an olam, especially divrei chizik, then sometimes, in order that the word should penetrate, it's important to repeat. So there are some paragraphs here that are a bit repetitious. So if you could turn to page Ches. He was explaining, we were learning last week, why is it that Chinuch Davke is called Meleches Hashem, Hashem's work. Chazal call it that based upon a pasuk in Navi. It's called Meleches Hashem. And we were talking last week by Riches at great length about how, although it's true, all the mitzvahs are Meleches Hashem, Shabbos, Davening, Tefillin, everything's Meleches Hashem. Everything is Hashem's work. But particularly when it comes to Chinuch, there is a Netiyas HaNefesh, there is a subtle and sometimes not so subtle inclination of the soul to cause the person to forget. Why is it that this child was given to me? Either my biological child or a student? Why was this individual brought into my world? And we were talking that sometimes this goes as far as principals of yeshivas are concerned, rebbeim, teachers and parents, that sometimes there's an external thought such as, how can I make my moisad, my institution, be successful? So therefore, we understand that to take children who are unsuccessful in their previous academic histories, that could, although it might benefit the Jewish people to educate such children, and although they might be able to be integrated into your yeshiva or into your Beis Yaakov, to your school, but sometimes when that Meleches Hashem is forgotten, when a Jew, it could be an illustrious administrator, a principal, if he forgets or if she forgets that the purpose is to educate the Rebbeinu Shalom's children, and that all of us are partners in this project to take all of Hashem's children, whoever is seeking a Jewish education, and to bring them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and instead that educator, that administrator begins to focus on the success of his own institution and his own professional success, so then the child becomes lost. And there are many children who are lost. Meleches Hashem is that reminder that, A, as we learned the previous week, 2 weeks, that you're a shliach. We're going to talk about that a lot more. You're Hashem shliach. Hashem is sending you to do something. It's Meleches Hashem. When you're putting on tefillin and you're keeping Shabbos, it's obvious that you're doing that for the Baruch Shalom's sake. When it comes to children, very often there are ulterior motives. Especially now, there are ulterior motives by many people. And we were talking a little bit that last week, that one might have the ulterior motive, you know, that everybody should think that I'm a wonderful parent. I'm the best parent in the world. My children are so put together. They're so bright. They're so firm. They're so put together and so on. This is something that is an ulterior motive that can cause a parent to often forget the tachlis. And if you forget that there's a Meleches Hashem, and you begin to think that this is something for my own personal benefit or gain, in the eyes of the world, or for the purpose of a shidduch, whatever it might be, then one can forget what this individual child needs to become an Eved Hashem. And that's very dangerous, and it's also very common. So let's just continue on page Ches. Let's continue from the paragraph Ukimo. Right on top of page Ches, the first paragraph there on page Ches, on the right-hand side. Everybody have it? Ukimo shana roim beroi hanem on Moshe Rabbeinu. Naturally, if we want to know who's a good Rebbe, the role model for the greatest Rebbe who ever lived is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he's called Moshe Rabbeinu. He's our Rebbe, and he is the greatest role model of a Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to is called in the Zohar HaKadosh Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd, Ro'en Ne'eman. So we see, he was the first Rebbe of the Jewish people as a people. He was the first Rebbe. When we became Jews, he was our Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's interesting, how was Moshe Rabbeinu tested? What did Chazal say? When did the Baruch Shalom decide that he was going to be our Rebbe? You remember? When he went back for the lost animal, for the sheep that was lost, then the Baruch Shalom said, if he is such a person that he goes after that lost sheep, that sheep might not have been accepted into one of the finest yeshivas, right? And he goes after that sheep, then I want this person to be the shepherd of my people. And that's the beginning of the chinuch of Klal Yisrael. The choice of Moshe Rabbeinu was a Rebbe who had compassion on the one who didn't fit in, right? Who had compassion on the one who was wandering a little bit away from the flock. So he was the first Mashpia. So Heid Olav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo. The Baruch Shalom bears testimony. We could trust Hashem. B'chol Beis Nemanu. In all of my house, he is trusted. What does that mean? This is the first qualification for any Jew, a parent or a teacher or a Rebbe, who was given the achrayas to be mashpia, to influence, to inspire these neshamas, Jews. What? Shetia kol his askusay mitoich ne'amonis. The Chol Beis Ne'eman. Could you imagine what a beautiful title that the Baruch Shalom gave to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Chol Beis Ne'eman. Ne'emanus. What does it mean, Ne'emanus? It doesn't mean that he's not a liar. The Chol Beis Ne'eman. It doesn't mean he's trusted. It means that he's not going to steal something. So what is B'chol Beis? What's the meaning of Ne'emanus? Ne'emanus means absolutely single-mindedly devoted to something. Ne'eman means he is completely loyal. He's loyal to his job. Umesirus. Getrai shafta l'Hashem Yisbarach. K'meisha kosov al Moshe Rabbeinu shalohaya poinila asakav. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu would not become involved in his own asakim. Now what do you think was Moshe Rabbeinu's personal asakim? What did he want to be Isaac in? Could be. Could him call his own family. I don't know if that's the pshat, although we do see, and that's interesting, and if we'd have more time, we'd talk about that in Moshe Rabbeinu's own family, it wasn't so pashat. In his own family, there were difficulties. But when Chazal said that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be Poinel Asakov, maybe it did mean that. But the simple pshat in Chazal is that Moshe Rabbeinu was on a madrega to go and to meditate and to contemplate the deepest mysteries of creation. And when he had the opportunity to do that, Hainu iske shemayim hagevoyim v'atzumim shohele Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had every single second in his life was precious because every single second was a means of discovering the secrets of the universe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Loi pona aleihem. Chazal tell us that when he was needed by the Jewish people, even though he was driven himself to seek a closer relationship to Hashem, he was prepared to sacrifice that, his own greatness, his own closeness, for the sake of the Jewish people, because he was their Rebbe. Rak min ha'har el ha'am. He descended from the mountain. The mountain here figuratively means what? His great involvement in the study of Torah. That's called the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu would descend from the mountain of his own understanding. He would descend from his exalted level, El Ha'am, and he would descend and go to the people. Hainu rak meshayovi ta'elas la'am. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu said and everything that he did was for the sake of the people, for the sake of his students. But neshuhu haya neman l'Hashem izbarach b'chol beisi neman hu. And that is the meaning that in my house, he is trusted. He is trusted to carry out what I've told him to carry out. Ukefi ma'ashe zoichim lichyois ba'avayda kedoshe zu mitoich ne'emonis la'Hashem is baruch. And in accordance to how a person is zoicha to live with this holy work. But in other words, in Meleches Hashem, in this area of chinuch with one's own children or other children, in a way that's neman, meaning it's that you are trusted by Hashem to be focused on your job, on your task. You'll be saved. You will save yourself from all areas of what? Of distortion, of laziness, of neglect. Because if your whole involvement in chinuch, meaning teaching your children, raising your children, or your students, is only that what? That you should be mitzachain in other people's eyes, that you should be somebody who's appealing to other people, or if it's just because I'm obligated to, so therefore, let me just do it because I'm chayv, what am I going to do? I have to do it. I want to be potter, I want to exempt myself. I'm obligated, I'd rather not do this, but I have to do it. That people should know that he's fulfilled his obligation. You know, very often when learning with a child, so if a person, and I know how much I felt this, that if you really don't have a cheshik to do it, it's so interesting. You know, when you're learning with your own child and there's nobody to impress, and you don't think that I have to be makarev, some non-religious person to Hashem. So one often feels that this is just a pain in the neck. It's just a chayva. I already know Aleph Beis. I already know the Kometz Aleph O. I already know this parsha. How many times can you read Lech Lechan Vayera? You know, you could lose your mind, right? You already know this. And it's just a chayva. But could you imagine if somebody would be, from the outside, would come to talk to you? Especially if it was somebody that wasn't religious, right? And say, could you tell me about Avram Avinu? Can you tell me about Parshas Lech Lecha? Wouldn't you be thrilled? You'd be excited. You'd sit down. And, I mean, you'd probably be afraid because you think, you'd say, I don't know. But whatever you know, whatever you would know, wouldn't you share with great excitement? You would. Even if you're tired, you wouldn't feel that it's a chayv. You'd feel how exciting. The Baruch Shalom has brought me one of his lost sheep, and I have this opportunity to tell him about Avram Avinu. This is great. I mean, I'm not saying that would be great if it happened every day and not, you know, at certain times. But if something like that comes around, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful schus. Nevertheless, when it's not a matter of impressing, or it's not with the excitement of, you know, this is some stranger or somebody outside of my immediate circle who I'm bringing closer to Hashem, it's your own kid, right? It's your own. So one very often feels that there's nothing here except an obligation. And the natural tendency of a person is to resent anything that's an obligation. To resent an obligation. Anything. One thing is, the second the Baruch Shalom says you have to do something, you don't feel like doing it, right? If it's optional, maybe. But if you have to do it, the natural thing within a person, there's something that rises up within the person to say, I don't want to do it. Who are you telling me what to do? So therefore, you know that with your own children, this is a chiv. You're obligated. And there's something, sometimes subtle, sometimes not so subtle, that resents that. And therefore, you feel that all it is a chiv, and you don't want to do it. Or you do it, but just to carry out the chayva. So he says, "Oz yeshul zekul." Something that is a chayva, something that you have to do, it has a boundary, it has an end, it has a limit. When you have to do something, you know, if it doesn't have a boundary, then you wouldn't be able to begin. So every obligation in life has a gvul. If somebody were to give you, a map and say, "Clean the world," you wouldn't start. But as long as you know that you have this particular area that you have an achrayis for, so then you're able to undertake the job. Now, that's nice. However, when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, if your entire frame of mind, if your state of mind with a child is, this is only a chayva, an obligation, it means by admitting that or by saying that, you have created a boundary, a gvul, and you want to get it over with. You feel that, you know, there's a shear. And you're looking at your watch, and when is it done? When is the end of this man? When does it finish? Now, if your motivation is that you want others to be impressed, then once you feel that your kids are impressive, if you feel that they are enough, that they're, let's say, better than your next-door neighbors, or better than your sister-in-law, or better than your sister or something, and you feel that your kids are doing all right, they're up there, so then you're ready you've reached, in your mind, you've already reached a certain gvul. The gvul is, I want it to be respected by other people that I have from children, that I have nice children. And there they are. They look like they're from, they look like they're nice. So everything's okay. I'm done. So I lose my cheshik. I lose my cheshik to really give over more and more. But if you have one tachlis with your children, with your students, if you have one tachlis, rak meleches Hashem, that's the without a gvul. Now here the difference is, it's without a gvul, but normally when it comes to a physical job that's without a gvul, you can't even begin, because you're overwhelmed. But what we've been learning until now is that in meleches Hashem, every single word, every single second that you spend, it's not the point of finishing the job. It's the excitement that every single second I'm involved in Melechus Hashem. I'm giving Nachas Ruach to the Baruch Shalom. You don't feel that certainly when it comes to cleaning the house. So then your whole Melech is only oriented to completing that, right? You just want to finish it. I mean, maybe there is such a person that sings while sweeping or mopping. I don't know, and he gets really, thrilled by doing that. Generally, I would assume that most of us, when we have to do menial jobs in this world, from the moment that we begin the job, all we're thinking about is patching ourselves up, that we should be exempt from the job that has a gvul. And a person who's teaching of Torah to their children, to their students, is taken in such a way as one would do a menial task just because it's an obligation to reach a certain boundary, a goal, so then it also becomes a tircha, it becomes a pain in the neck, and you just want to be finished. But when it comes to teaching, if one remembers the tachlis is meleches Hashem, that means that every single second, this is meleches Hashem. You know, when I was talking about sweeping, did any of you ever hear of the Rebbe from Sada Geira? The Sada Geira is the descendants of the Rishna, the Tzaddikim from Rishna. So there was a big Tzaddik, the Sada Geira, that survived the war, World War II, and he came first to Tel Aviv. And after Tel Aviv, I think maybe he went to Bnei Brak, and maybe he already died, he was still in Tel Aviv. I think he was in Tel Aviv. Well, a big tzaddik. He went through terrible yisurim during the war, terrible suffering. So I read in the sefer that one time the Rebbe from Sada Geira, it was in Tel Aviv very, very early, like the crack of dawn, and there was somebody who happened to be on the street in Tel Aviv, and he saw an old man sweeping the street. And then he wanted to see, what is this at like 4:30 in the morning? Who's sweeping the street? And he went close, and this man saw, who is it? It's the tzaddik, the Rebbe from Sada Geira. So right away he starts to pull the broom, and the Rebbe doesn't let go. And then the man says, Rebbe, what, if you don't mind me asking, why are you cleaning the street? Why are you cleaning the street at 4:30 in the morning? So the Sada Geira said, look, I'll tell you. During the war, when the Germans, Yamach Shamam, when they came to Vienna, many tzaddikim were in Vienna between World War I and World War II. They ran from Galicia, from Poland. So the Germans, when they came to Vienna, they gathered together the tzaddikim who were there. There was the Kapishnitz who was there, and the Sada Geira and a few others. They gathered them together, and they brought all the Jews to watch, to humiliate the tzaddikim and to dehumanize the Jews, because when they would see the tzaddikim being humiliated, they would be dehumanized. And they gave each of them a toothbrush, and they started kicking them on the floor, that they should start cleaning the street. They should start cleaning the street with a toothbrush. So the Sada Geira said to this Jew that morning, 4:30 in the morning, whatever it was, he said, when I was on the floor with that toothbrush, and there were thousands of Jews standing there crying when they saw this, when I was doing that, so I was thinking, how could it be that a descendant of the Tzaddik from Rizhin, who is a descendant from David HaMelech, how could it be that I should be brought to such a thing, that a Jew should be kicked by a German, and that I'm doing this on a street in Vienna? And he said, at that moment I was going to stop, and if I would stop, they would shoot me, and I had no desire to live. And then I began to think. He said, I had this machshava, and the machshava was that this street in Vienna, it doesn't belong to the Germans. This is one of the streets of the Baruch Shalom also. It's in his world, right? It's a piece of his world. So what's so bad if the Rebbe from Sada Geira, if David HaMelech's descendant, is cleaning one of the Baruch Shalom streets? He said, I started to think about this, and I was misboining, like the way a tzaddik could do. I got fixated on this. to the point that I started to sing a niggun, and I never had such an awakening, and it saved my life. That pulled me out for the rest of the war. I was able to get through with that machshava. So he said, I was makabel upon myself that if I survive the war, as a sign of gratitude, every single morning, with the exception of Shabbos and Yom Tov, whatever street in the world I would end up in, I would go out a little bit and clean for 2 or 3 minutes the street. You hear this? A ma'aseh from Sadeh Ger. Because the tzaddik lives in that way, where he's able to take every single thing in his life and take away the external peels and say, this is also Malachas Hashem. For us, it's very, very hard. It's very hard. But if Chazal told us that teaching and raising children is called Malachas Hashem Mamish, it means you don't have to pull away the peels. It's Mamish Malachas Hashem every single second. Then you realize that it's a Schia Nifla, that it's an unbelievable Schus every single second with all the difficulties. That doesn't mean you can't admit that it's hard. Certainly, cleaning the street in Vienna with a toothbrush wasn't easy. But it's Malachas Hashem. And Malachas Hashem means reminding myself, if it's necessary, 100 times a day, that the tachlis of talking to my child, not just reviewing the homework, the Chumash, Rashi, but every single thing that I, every single moment of interaction with my child, the tachlis is that I will be able to bring more nachas ruach to the Rabbeinu Shalom from this precious neshama, from this neshama kedosha. Azai kol hagisha v'his askus nasis ba'if analim roim b'yaiser. Your entire attitude becomes uplifted. Your attitude changes. Now he goes weiter. Next column. Ha'inyan hasheni. This is the first explanation of why is chinuch called Meleches Hashem, Hashem's work. Ha'inyan hasheni, shenichlal b'meleches Hashem, another inyan, another thing that we can think about for chizik. Again, the purpose here is completely just for chizik. Another thing that we can think about to mechazik ourselves that's included in this title that's called Meleches Hashem, who? Sheretzoyin avinu shebeshamayim, that is the rotzen, the will, the desire of Hashem. Shekol mi sheyesh lo shaychus l'neshamas ha-kadoshim ha-elu, yeida v'yizka heitev sha'akol nishlach v'nivcha ba'ifin prati u'miyuchad min ha-shamayim. That you should know, this is what he spoke about at the beginning, but here he explains it in much greater detail, that you should know that you were specifically chosen for this assignment. Not just that you're a shliach of Hashem, that when you're doing this mitzvah, you're Hashem's messenger, but a shidduch was made. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shalom went through all the neshamas, and the Rebbeinu Shalom said, this neshama goes down to that parent. It's sometimes hard to believe that, no? That this neshama goes to that parent, to that Rebbe, to that Mora. Kol Ov, he says, every father. Kol Aim, every mother. Kol Melamed, every Rebbe. Afilu shebechitzaynis nir lefamim shesiba ployinis. Vesheheshtadlus agashmus, or protectia, vechadayma. He has siba shehivi also sheyeloi shaychis l'neshamas gedayshu. Sometimes you might think there's some silly reason that this kid ended up in my class. What could be the silly reason? You know, his father happens to be Gevir, right? In other words, I teach the Chal Shavu Shia. I give a high-level Shia. This kid really doesn't belong here. Why did he end up in the Shia? Because his father's a wealthy guy. So he has some protection. Or father's a Shashiva. Whatever it is, the family's Chal Shavu, and he ended up in my class. So how would you tend to look at that kid? The way that the teacher would tend, there's a possibility that the way that the teacher would look at that kid would be with external eyes. Eyes that say, as a tziga kevina, he doesn't belong here. He doesn't belong here. So, memela, if he doesn't really belong with me, so how much of myself must I give? It's so hard for a teacher not to feel that. But even a parent could feel that. As crazy as it sounds. But if you think, he says here, sometimes it seems to you that there's some other reason that brought that child to you. There's another reason. Some siba chitzonis. It's a chitzonis de gezach. Not that you should be the one that's going to bring him closer to Hashem. There's another reason why. So you think he has siba. It could be even a very, very noble reason. It could be that the Baruch Shalom had Rachmanis in me. I cried so hard to have a child. I cried so hard I want to have a child, so he gave me a child. But now that he gave me a child, I don't know what to do with him. Right? I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how to handle this. So you're thinking, there's really the main reason that I have this child is because the Baruch Shalom couldn't listen to me scream anymore and cry. He couldn't take it anymore. So he said, all right, take it here. That's also, that's a very harsh of a thing, but it's also external to the real tachlis. The real tachlis is, yes, you had to break through, whatever that was, but the davening is gewaldig. But the point is that when the Baruch Shalom said you're going to get a child, he didn't just pick the next one in line. He didn't just send the next one in line. Sometimes you're teaching, and here's, I thought Mamas was talking to me because I was teaching already 20 years. Zegar, maybe you're thinking, you know, I'm already teaching for 20 years. Zegar, listen, I'm teaching 20 years, so eventually, this kid rolled into my class. Now, there's a chance after 20 years that I'm going to get this kind of kid, that kind of kid. You know, it happens. So, in Chitzonius, if you look at things in a shallow way, the Yetzirah will come and say, will come and give you the impression, happens, in other words, every year I have a new bunch of kids. Listen, every year you get new kids. As a teacher, you get new students. So, a couple slip through the cracks. In other words, it doesn't mean that every single kid is a zivig, every single kid is a shidduch with me. I'm teaching you for 20 years, and they send over kids, and I got this kid. That's the natural order of things. Now, he says, v'chein etzel harim, and it can be with parents the same thing. Nira b'chitzainyas, sometimes in chitzainyas, in that simplistic, shallow way of looking at things, you might think that my connection to this child right now, binyan zebet kufazu, harei hu poshet hemshech shabam me'elov ketaytzar mizeh shu bini shenoyled li lifnei chamei shanim. In other words, he says there's a certain curriculum, there's a certain seder. So children are supposed to do certain things when they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And now he says this child has reached the 5th year. He's 5 years old. So now I'm in the 5-year-old mode, and now I have to deal with the 5-year-old. And I dealt with another 5-year-old, and now I'm dealing with this 5-year-old. And the only reason that he's coming, let's say this 5-year-old child happens not to feel well today, Chalila, and he's staying home from school, or even if he feels fine, but he felt that he needed a day off. It happens sometimes, right? So this 5-year-old is home. So the most natural thing to think is, oh, this is a 5-year-old that's staying home, and this has happened to me with other 5-year-olds. Either my own 5-year-old, or maybe my niece, my nephew, or friends. But this is a natural thing. Therefore, that day that's spent with that 5-year-old doesn't have to be particularly significant. It doesn't mean anything different than any time of the life of another 5-year-old that you've had in your little world at some earlier time. So you might think that there's a certain seder. He says, "Mimela poshut me'elov shezeh hasiba sheyeshli shayches imo gam b'shanazu." In other words, I had a shayches when he was 4 years old. I have a shayches when he's 5 years old. There's certain things that we have to do when they're 5 years old, and I'll do it. Ubetkufazu ubenyin zeh shuzoke by keis la'ezev esiyum imeni, because the child needs me right now. The child needs me for this and this. So that sounds perfectly nice. Doesn't that sound normal? Avel ha'em is he. The truth is, it's not even the beginning of that which is right. He says, "Bechlal," it's altogether, that whole attitude is wrong. Sharei kol hasibus. Now he's saying something here, it sounds very simple, but really it's very profound. And it's touching upon a very big subject in Machshava, the whole nature of what Hashgacha Pratis means, of what specific divine providence means. So he explains. Shaharei kol hasibos hem rak levush ba'alma, really are only a levush ba'alma, a garment, just a garment. Shal yodem, that through these sibos, through these causes, or through these events, that what can happen? Mizgala ritzayin Hashem edbracham yuch leregezeh. The rotzen of Hashem, which is specifically and uniquely to be revealed for this moment with this specific child. that revelation needs to take place. But let me explain just very simply without going into this bariches, because this is a subject that I'm assuming that many of you are familiar with it. Not all of you are familiar with it, but maybe just some, a little bit, just to a little bit to explain. Huttner once said that the difference between non-Jewish or secular philosophers, even those who were thinking about God, and our philosophers, our tzaddikim, who are thinking about Hashem, the difference is as follows. He said that in the secular world, there's a world. The philosophers see that there is a world, there's existence, and the question is, how does God fit into existence? Rav Huttner said, but by our tzaddikim, by our philosophers, the Rambam, Rav Yehuda Halevi, and so on, there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, yeah? There's a God, and the question is, how does existence fit into the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? That sounded silly? It's everything in life. It's the sum total of all that our life is about in that sentence. It's not, there are things that happen to me in life, and the question is now, how do I work it out to get Hashem into this? How do I fit Hashem into my schedule? No. It's, there is Hashem. And how do I fit my life and understand my life through the perspective of Hashem's eyes, in Hashem's world? And the difference is, Chazal tell us, Estakel kutcher b'richo b'raisa uvara alma. That means that Hashem gazed into the Torah and He created the world. He looked into the Torah and He created the world. And you've all heard that. And they usually in the English books, they usually like to say that the Torah is a blueprint of creation, right? And that's the usual lotion that's used in the English books. It's true. Hashem looked into the Torah and He created the world. Do you ever stop and think, what does that mean? It's not just a medrash. What does it mean, Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world? It means that the underlying point is the Torah. The world is the world, and all that happens in the world, and all that's ever happened since creation, all of those causes and effects that are called sibot, are only what? That the Rabbeinu Shalom's will should be revealed. For instance, Rabbi Yerucham from Mir, a big Baal Musa, Rabbi Yerucham, he brought from Rishayna, and he explained in a very, very clear way, if there's someone at home that could bring the Sefer from Rabbi Yerucham on Shmois in Parshas Beshalach. There, Rabbi Yerucham explains that we tend to think that the Baruch Shalom gave us parents. We have parents. And now, I have to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud of the aim. Now I have to honor them and revere them. Right? That's the way we've been taught. Hashem gave me parents and I have to take care of them. I have to honor them and have to revere them. Rabbi Yerucham says, nein, that's not it. Who could tell me what could possibly be if not that? What would the way of seeing this in terms of istakha kutcher bricha baraisa uvarama, that Hashem gazed into the Torah and He created the world, how would Rav Huttner have explained this in terms of that sentence that we learned before? Yeah. Well, that's it. The Baruch Shalom wanted to reveal this mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Therefore, He created us in such a way that we would have parents. Now, some of you, I bet, are thinking, "Oh, that seems to that's minimizing the honor of my parents." Just the opposite. It's not true. The mitzvah of everything in this world is only a siba, a cause, to the ultimate effect, the one effect, which is Hashem. It's not that, oh, you know what? Hashem made a world, and in the world He wanted us, you know, in the world, so what's He going to do? Hashem made the world in a natural way, so they're just like every animal in the world, has kids, and there's reproduction, so Hashem made parents, and parents have kids. But the difference is that Hashem says that, but you know, it's nice to honor them, you should honor them. It's not, they took care of you, take care of them, right? That's a svara that you would say I'll be pashtus in a simple way. That's the svar, and that would be exactly what the secular religious philosophers were talking about. That there's a world, and we have to find God in this world and make God fit into this world. What Rabbi Yerucham is teaching is, no, that's not how we should look at things. The way to look at things is that the Rebbeinu Shlom, the tachlis is to reveal Kavod Shamayim and for us to be attached to the Master of the Universe and our children and grandchildren and so on. And the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world in such a way where we will have parents so that this remarkable mitzvah that engenders Hakaras HaTov in the strongest way, that brings out from us the deepest midas of Hakaras HaTov, should take place through this vehicle of Kibud Av V'Em. Rabbi Yerucham brings a number of other proofs to this concept, and we have to understand it, because this is exactly what he's talking about. That it's not stam that there are certain things that happen to me in life, and under these circumstances, I have this kid, let me try to make the best on this situation. The whole reason that you were brought into that situation with that kid is because of Malachas Hashem. In other words, there's no B'dei Eved here. You know what it means, B'dei Eved. It's not just, oh well, this is just the way it is, and I'm going to have to make the best. No, you are the parent, that is the kid, and this is the moment. And the tachlis of that kid, that parent, in this moment, is Kavod Shamayim. I mean, it's something we might not be used to. It's hard to think. You have to get used to it. So Yerucham explains, I'll just say this very much b'kitzer. You know, the Chazal tell us that when the Jewish people came to Yamsuf, it wasn't good. You know, we had problems by Yamsuf. We came to the water, and the Egyptians were chasing us, and there were animals over here, and there was no place to go. The ocean was in front of us. We had no place to go. So it says that we start to scream. We start to call out to Hashem. So, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael, they began to scream. They began to call out. And when they began to call, and then the Bereshit says, okay, good, Darba b'nei Yisrael, Matitzaku, tell them to go. So, Chazal tell us that a marshal that I'm sure some of you have heard, marshal Mahadavadoyma, to what can this be compared? I'm just going to say just the skeleton of the marshal, because I don't want to take so much time with it. Marshal Mahadavadoyma, to what can this be compared? So Chazal say to a, there was a certain young woman that had fallen into a that was surrounded by listim, by robbers. And her life was in danger, and she was screaming, and the prince came along, the king came along, and rescued her from these criminals. And it's beautiful, they fell in love, and they were making plans to get married. The Medrash tells over this Maisa, from Reish Lakish says it. And they're making plans to get married. Now, in the course of the engagement, the king, the prince, began to realize that his wonderful princess was getting very, very lost in her plans for the wedding. You know, tablecloths and flowers and the whole business. And the gown. And she was no longer relating to him in that intense and romantic way as when she first called out to him. And she first needed him. So what did the king do? It sounds terrible. The king went over to that chevra of listim. Who knew they were? He knew these criminals. He went over to these listim and he said, I'll tell you what, fellas. I'll pay you such and such amount of money. Tomorrow, usually around 3:00, my fiance, my Kala, the princess, she's walking through the garden. Scare her. I mean, so this was done. And they came there and she started to scream out, you know, Adoni HaMelech, my beloved, the prince. And she started to cry. And then he comes and he rescues her. So, And then on this Chazal, which sounds so simple, right? Sounds almost silly. Chas v'shalom. Chazal say the posik, Hashmini es koilech, Harini es mairech, es koilech sheshamati b'mitzrayim. You hear this? What did Chazal say? That the Rebbeinu Shalom said, I miss the way you used to call out. You know when you were in the slave pits in Mitzrayim? You remember the good old days when life was miserable and you would say, Rebbeinu Shalom, Rabbi Shalom, please have rachmanis. Rabbi Shalom, I need you. I can't live without you. Right? You remember those? Well, since we got engaged, I haven't heard you talk that way anymore. You've taken me for granted, and you've stopped feeling that need. And therefore, I apologize, I love you, but I had to bring something about in order that I should hear that tefillah from you again. So Biuchim said, could you imagine? We tend to think that we got to, but we get into a mess, we're in a difficult situation. Uh-oh, what am I going to do? There's nobody here to help me. So then what? The doctor can't help, and my boss can't help, and there's no one else here. So then what do you start? Then you start asking, Rabbi Yishol, help me, Rabbi Yishol. So the way we look at it is that there's a world, right? There's a world. And things got a little bit sticky in God's world. So I was in the gym. So now I said, Rabbi Yishol, help me, right? Get me out of the gym. So Yochum says, and that's not how it works. Is that the things that a person goes through in life is because the Baruch Shalom is chalishing to hear from a Jew. Something that's sincere and something that's real. Don't take the Moshe too far, you know, the Baruch Shalom is, you know. I don't want anybody to have nightmares. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Yochum explains that the whole tachlis is what? That a Jew should be able to say, HaMelech. HaMelech, the king. Avinu Malkeinu, my father. So sometimes when you stop talking to the Baruch Shalom in a real way, so Baruch Shalom sometimes brings you to the shore of Yamsuf, and there are Egyptians that are chasing it behind you, and there are the ocean in front of you is closed, and there's no one to help except the Master of the Universe. And then you begin to daven, but now you really daven, not the way you davened yesterday. Now you really daven. And the Baruch Shalom says, "I Hashemini es koylech sheshamati b'mitzrayim." Because the whole reason that you went through that thing was only that you should talk to the Rabbi Shalom in a real way. That you should turn once again your heart to him. The difference is that tzaddikim, big tzaddikim, that's how they daven on a regular day. They don't have to be brought to Yamsuf. They don't have to be brought to some crisis. They don't have to go through some cataclysmic, horrifying event to talk to the Rabbi Shalom. Because they see every step in life as being I'm in Hashem's hands. So what he's explaining here, let's get back to the text. What he's explaining here is that you shouldn't think that I have this kid. This is my 5-year-old. This is my 18-year-old. No, so I had this before. I've been here before. Or I've heard that this is the way to be metaple with the 18-year-old. You have to know that the reason that you have this 18-year-old and the reason that he's here this moment of your life is that you should think, to the best of my koiches, how can I make myself a true Eved Hashem and do what needs to be done, what this child needs for this time in his life? Not because this is what 18-year-olds need. Not because I've been down this road or this is just a way to kill time. But there's that everything is being brought to the tachlis of this moment. So he explains, Hashem is Baruch Nosin B'Socheinu as Kol HaKoiches V'Hashpos and Yitzrochos Avur Kol HaTorah Shel Neshama Azu. And Hashem has given us exactly what we need. All of our koiches that we need to take care of what the child needs that moment. And if what the child needs that moment is a band-aid and a kiss and a little story or a song, then you do what you can and you do it in a heartsicker way. But Hashem has given us the koiches that we need for that moment. For that child's greatness, that the child should have had a daven, and we have also, and for the midas toivus, Hashem has given us also all that we need, all that we need and all that we have to go through. We are equipped with that by Hashem in Meleches Hashem. As we learned that Hashem, if He told us to do this malacha, it means that we are armed and we're equipped to do it. Next page. All of these amazing koiches. Of what? To have enough emunah, to have enough bitachin, to have enough simcha, to have enough intelligence. Hashem is giving us for that moment. Every parent and every mashpi, every rabbi, every teacher. Even though this is clear, the Rosh wants us to daven for this. He wants us to turn to him and speak to him about this inyan. that we should have the schus to live with this, to remember this. And we won't get overwhelmed. And we won't get sidetracked. We won't think that it's tam a nuisance, it's an annoyance. We'll understand that if this is happening, it's because something of tachlis can be brought out of this moment of my life, in my relationship with this person. That the tzaddik lives by his faith. And we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us, that we should have this emunah. You shouldn't think that something's going to happen automatically. You were meant to work that moment, to do something. It's just something because it happened before. The kid was born, so of course he's 5 years old. But after 4 years, you become 5 years old. We have to review this, he says, all the time. That before this neshama was sent, before Hashem took it out from under the throne of His glory. Hashem checked every single Jew that's in the world. Before He sent that neshama down. Hashem checked every Jew in the world. And He checked into that Jew's past. He checked into all of his midas. He checked into his family. Hashem ran a full, complete checkup on that Jew. The Chishev Hetev Mi Roy Lishlichazu. And the Baruch Shalom made a cheshvan. That's from the entire world. You're elected. You. Sheyizki Sheila Shaychism Neshamazu. That this Neshama should come to you. Shekola Protim Hanitzrochim Nechinich Neshamazu. That means all of the details that are necessary, that are needed for the Chinich of this particular Neshama. You, kefi ha-nitzruch v'haroyla, will be given to you, will be taken care of. Mi yiyye ha'av she'yizke b'zeh v'ha'em she'tizke b'zeh. To whichever father, or whichever mother, it was decided will get that neshama, the Baruch Shalom sends that person, that parent, that Rebbe, that teacher, all that he or she needs. Emotional strength, physical strength, spiritual strength. To give to the child what he or she needs to become, what he or she can become. V'ahem shetiska bezeh, v'habayis. Hashem Yisbaruch chose that house. V'ha'ir, that city. V'aretz, that land, that country. You know how many people I know, for many years I used to think this myself, and I finally, Baruch Hashem, I purged this thought out of myself. But there are many, many people that for years have been telling me that they plan on moving to Eretz Yisrael. I hope we all plan on moving, some more serious than others, but they plan to move. And then I'll be an Eved Hashem. You know, when I get that apartment in the old city, then I'll be a good Jew. There's a certain teacher, there's a certain Rebbe, there's a certain Rav, there's a certain great person in Yerushalayim. If I would be there, then I would be an Eved Hashem. One of the great Balei Musar, I think it was Rav Naftali Amsterdam, that he came to his illustrious Rebbe, who you all heard of, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And he went to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and I think that he said something along these lines. He said, he was crying to Rabbi Yisrael. You know, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a doctor, a doctor, to take raw material and to perfect a human being. So he said to Rabbi Yisrael, he says, Rebbe, if I would have the mind, the brains of the Vilna Gaon, and if I would have the heart, I don't know who he said, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, whatever he said, different names of tzaddikim. He says, then I would be a big Eved Hashem. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter told him, Naftali, with your mind, and with your heart, and with your neshama, and with your home, and with your wife, and with your children, you could be an Eved Hashem. And you don't realize, it's a very subtle thing inside of us that tells us, some other way I could be. I could be. I would be. And I should be. But not in this situation. We tend to think that way because we think that the results of a situation, how things turn out, as if it's up to us. It's not up to us. There's only one thing that's up to us, and that this moment to be an Eved Hashem. That's it. What can I do this moment? How something turns out? That's the Baruch Shalom's business. Judaism is process-oriented, not product-oriented. You know, in America, you become very product-oriented. You could put all your kaich into something, and if the job didn't turn out right, you get fired. Even though you'll say, but I'm so sincere. You know, they'll say, can't you be sincere? We don't need sincere people. We need successful people. Right? You're sincere, that doesn't sell. That's not how the Baruch Shalom fears the Welt. The Baruch Shalom fears the Welt process. The job of what can you do this moment. You know, there was a great chassid of the tzaddik of Moshe LeKabrina. A big chassid of Moshe LeKabrina. And this chassid went to see once the Kotzke. And the Kotzke was very interested to hear something about the Rebbe, about his Rebbe, Moshe LeKabrina. So he asked the chassid, tell me, what's your Rebbe greatest? What's his greatest characteristic? What's his greatest milah? What's he great at? You know, there are certain tzaddikim who are famous for tzedakah, the tzaddik's famous for learning, this one's for davening, and so on. So the Kotzke asked this chassid, what's Rav Moshe Kabrina's greatest inyan? So the chassid was quiet, and he said, my Rebbe's greatness is what he's doing that moment. Whatever he has to do, that moment, that's his greatest thing. That is one of the most important stories you'll ever hear. Not, I could have, I should have, I would have. Not, if I would be in this matzav, that. The greatness is what I have this moment, this person who is with me. That's all the Baruch Shalom wants of you, to be an Eved Hashem, to serve him this moment. That's all. And to know that if this has happened to you, there's a reason why it's happened to you. I once got a good patch from a tzaddik in Yerushalayim. I don't know if I'll say his name, but a very famous tzaddik. My wife knows that I feel constantly besieged by different inyanim that don't give me the time to be able to learn and to be Isaac and things that I would like to be Isaac in, because of the tiredness of students and so on and the kehila. So some years ago, when I was feeling, I felt that I was just at a point that I thought I was losing my mind. So I was in Yerushalayim. I went to this tzaddik. He has certain very, very certain specific hours for appointments. You know what I'm talking about? He had specific hours for an appointment, and I called him up. Now, I was only in Yisrael for 3 days. I was in for Chasna. It was by Moshe's Chasna. I was in for Chasna. And I had only 3 days. And it didn't work out with the tzaddik schedule. And I had to speak to him. I was losing my mind. So I called up, and they put him on the phone, and I said, Rebbe, this is my so-and-so, but I have something very important that's pressing, would I be able to talk to the Rebbe? So he said, can you come now? I said, I'm coming. So I went to talk to him, and I began to pour my heart out about this whole inyan, that I what am I supposed to do? I can't learn, I can't do anything, I don't know what to do. So this is what he said to me, but it was such a patch. He said, you know, I thought that today I was going to be learning straight, and there was something that I'm working on. I thought that I was going to be learning from after davening. I had a little piece of cake. I was going to be learning straight through the day without any interruptions, because I don't have any hours today to see people. But then there was a Jew who I care for, who I know means well. From New York, he's here only for a few days. So he called me up and he says, Rebbe, there's something that's pressing. Can it wait? No. He's not going to be here. So I said, okay. You know, while he's talking, can you picture how I'm mamish, like I'm already under the table. I can't believe it. You know, here I'm talking, I'm such an, you know, the whole ego, like I'm talking about me. And all I'm doing is taking away his day. And I'm saying how I can't take because people are taking away my, and that's all I'm talking to him about. And he's giving me this. But the way he says it, you know, if you're a real Yerushalmi and a real tzaddik with such sweetness. But I'm sinking. And he says, and he finishes, and he went on, he dramatized the whole thing. And he's gone on for a while. And then he said to me, listen, I'm sorry to say, you know, in the beginning this, I'm still struggling with it, but I think about this and it helps me. He said, listen, you want to learn because why do you want free time? You want free time because you want to learn. So you want to learn. Learning is melechus Hashem, that's serving Hashem. But if the Baruch Shalom sends something, and you should have a zman, he says, I have a zman, I have times, there's zmanim, but sometimes it, you know, things don't work out the way that you want, and you have to stop and say to yourself that Mestam the Baruch Shalom has a shlichus for me, and my shlichus right now is not to go through this piece of Gemara. My shlichus right now is to be metapel with this yid. Now, how do you know the shiur? So I spoke to him. Doesn't mean therefore, one should never. No. One has to make a kriyas, one has to have zmanim, one has to have seder in life. But Sof kol sof. If everything in your life is just to serve Hashem, and that's because you want to serve yourself, maybe it's because, you know, you just like to have a little bit quiet time, you want to have this, you want to have that, but say that's also okay. But you have to remember that you were created to be an Eved Hashem. And in that servitude of Avdus Hashem, things don't always go the way that you plan. They don't always go the way that you plan. Sometimes it's different. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way that you expect it. And then you have to stop and say to yourself, for this moment, this is apparently that's what's happening right now. You know how frustrating it is when you made, let's say you had a certain plan to do something, you wanted some quiet, and in the end, like the child decided not to allow you that. Your child decided not to allow you that quiet or that free time or whatever it was, even if you wanted to use the free time for something very nice. So inside you could become very angry. And you could take it out sometimes on the child, because the child upset your whole vision of how the day was going to be. But he's saying here is so important, because what this tzaddik is telling us is, what are you, crazy? The Rebbeinu Shlom, who's Mesavev Kol HaSivus, the Rebbeinu Shlom who runs every single thing, don't you realize that he brought your child back to you now for something? Not to scream and say, you messed up my day. He brought him back for something. It doesn't mean you can't also have a day. But if this is happening, then the question that you have to ask yourself is, okay, I don't know, what does the Rebbeinu Shlom want me to do right now? What could I do in some way that's good, that's healthy, that's constructive? And perhaps to still be able to have some time, but not to throw away the opportunity. Or not to hurt that person, that child, because of your disappointment. So that he says, let's just finish this paragraph. That's the shidduch that was made. He was saying this in Eretz Yisrael. He says this neshama could have come to somebody in Chutz La'aretz. There are a lot of places where Jews live in Chutz La'aretz. Could have come to Chutz La'aretz. Or b'chol mokim arba kanfas la'aretz. Could have anywhere in the world. Could have been by some other Jew that's living in this generation. Aval Hashem Yisbarach b'char mikol klal Yisrael davkes ha'av hazeh. V'ha'aim hazu, this father davke and this mother davke, v'abayis hazeh in this home, v'hamokim hazeh in this place, v'mnei shirak zeh hamokim shetoyv l'neshama zu lichyos, because this is the place where you have to deal with that neshama. Not to say I would deal better with this child in a different place, and to delay that. If you think so, then make plans and move to some other place. But what people will do is they'll just, instead of dealing with the child now, they'll just say, they put it on hold, and it will be in some other time, in some other place. No. To fulfill the shlichus to the best of your ability now, in this place, at this time. That davka, this time and this place, and me as a parent, are most qualified to be able to fulfill Melechus Hashem in the life of this child. Uru'uyim lahoyer ben neshama zu, and are fit to illuminate, to give life to this neshama, yoyse mikol kla Yisrael, more than the rest of kla Yisrael. Can you imagine to have such a machshava? Even though I know that it's very hard for us to live with this all the time, but if you hear it and you try a little bit to think of this, I have to say something that was very, you know, that I was very moved by, that happened yesterday. Today is Monday. Yesterday I spoke someplace in a Chassidish bungalow colony. I spoke to an oilam, and I spoke about a certain inyan, also having to do with chinuch. Not the same. So in the course of that shiur, I had spoken about the urgency of spending some more time with our children. And the general sad state of the abandonment of our children that's taken place as a result of, hopefully, Bo Hashem Simchas. And I have to tell you that that I was so moved, because immediately after returning back here, I received a phone call. And this Chassidish fellow said, I want you to know that right after the shiur, I was so excited, I ran back to the bungalow, and I said to my wife, he says, Mamala, he even said it in such a way, I said, Mamala, from now on, from now on, for 2 hours a night, during the time that we eat and some time afterwards, we're going to take the phone off the hook and we're going to try to focus just to be able to spend some time with the mishpacha. And to me, this was the most gratifying, I wouldn't say compliment, but I definitely felt that the shiur was kedai, and the simcha that I had knowing that those children were going to benefit in a real way and feel special for those nights, the way that every Jewish child deserves to feel. To me, that was the most gratifying feeling. No, HaKadosh Baruch should help us that our children should see how special they are, and they should understand how much they mean to us, and in that schus we'll understand how much we mean to Rabbi Shalom as his children.